WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. And it's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Mayor Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Yes, welcome to another Monday Night Talk. My name is indeed Kevin Tachi, joined alongside by my trusty co-host, Peter Brown, Peter L. Brown.
That's right. Good evening, Kevin.
Good evening, sir. And of course, behind the glass, the one and only under glass, Mr. Ben. Now, Ben, I don't know, how do I say your last name? Because you go by different last names now.
One last name, depends on what we're doing, is the nickname that you're going to get. But my name is Ben Rabinowitz, otherwise known as Benny Rabbi.
All right,
always Ben. A pleasure to be here, Kev. Thank you for the introduction.
Hey, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. I was tuned into the... He was doing scoreboard updates, and he's like, Benny Rabbi. I'm like, Benny Rabbi? I thought his name
flies off the tongue much easier.
I thought his name was a lot. Yeah, but you could be like, we'll have to come up with another radio name or stage name for you. Do you really like the rabbi thing?
I mean, I've been using it for years. Otherwise, you can call me Benjamin Fumbles. That one's been 9 years in use.
Benny Fumbles?
Benjamin Fumbles, that's right. Sometimes you win, sometimes you fumbles.
Ah,
I like that.
That
very
is
nice.
Good, yeah. Well, we have, thank you very much, Ben. We have a...
You're welcome. Thank you.
Great lineup for this evening. Peter is here because a part of the conversation...
Right.
...centers around not only a good friend of ours, State Rep Matt Muratori.
Yep.
But goodness gracious, here we are 2 weeks into 2020.
Yep.
And what comes with it? Well, we're celebrating the town of Plymouth... it's 400th anniversary.
That's right.
So we're going to talk about a lot of the great events that are upcoming. And so we can do that not only with Matt Muratori, but Michelle Pecoraro.
There's some amazing stuff coming up. It's crazy.
And so that's why I could not, with a good conscience, do this segment without you here.
Thank you.
Because I know how much you love Plymouth, and I know how much you have invested as a person.
Yes.
Into a lot of these events. Let's not forget also the creation of... The lobsters, you know, the conversation. You were part of the collective that said, "Hey, let's put these fantastic lobsters up."
Just being part of the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce and stuff, you know, they helped me get embedded in Plymouth. It's great.
And let's not also forget the scallop roll.
Yes,
right, the scallops that are all over the place now down in Plymouth.
And you know, and people were kind of shying away because they liked the lobster because it had a personality, but the scallops the artwork is just stupendous. I mean, the pictures that people are taking and posting on Facebook and tagging them, it's just incredible.
Yeah, the artwork on them are phenomenal.
Yeah.
But also part of tonight's show, we will speak with Brockton Mayor Bob Sullivan.
Yes.
The mayor will talk about what his first week in office has been like.
Yeah.
We'll also get details about the inaugural ball. My understanding is he had well over 600 people that were there. And also some of the things that are kind of already on the front burner, that he's already having conversations. These are things that actually were kind of put into action by his predecessor, Mayor Moses Rodriguez, who is now at-large counselor Rodriguez. He's gone back to the city council. He was reelected to another term in the city council by the fine folks in Brockton. So
he did a great job.
He did a great job. Yeah. So we'll talk with Bob about that.
Yeah.
Final guest of the evening, Melissa Valkovic. And Melissa is with the Hanson PTO. She's going to talk a little bit about the second annual Cranberry Cove Plunge.
Yes.
Which helps raise funds to provide enrichment programs for the school system. And I actually attended and covered this last year for WATD. And it was a fun event. It was fun to see people actually find a reason to get people to pledge. We had a selectman who actually dressed up. He had a pink tutu, pink knee-high socks. And he did it because his dad challenged him. He says, listen, you know, I'll give you X amount of money if you run the Wanyu with us.
Nice.
And knowing that there were so many other elected officials, folks from the school that were a part of it, we'll talk with Melissa about this fun event that's going to be taking place on January 26th. There is there's a weather date. If for some reason they're not able to do it on the 26th, I think it might be the 2nd, if
yeah,
I'm correct.
The following week.
The following week.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind. So,
hey, it's Jeff from Brennan Smoke Shop. Having a hard time with your New Year's resolution? Well, I have a couple of really good ones for you. If you like to drink alcohol, maybe you should resolve never to drive drunk. If you don't like to drink, you could resolve to always wear your seatbelt while traveling in your car. This message is brought to you by Brennan's Smoke Shop. Brennan's Smoke Shop wishing you a happy and safe new year. And always wear your seatbelt. Always.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Okay, we're opening our program, as we teased just a few moments ago, with the 50th mayor of the City of Champions. Of course, that's Brockton, not Boston. A good friend of this program in many respects. We have Mayor Bob Sullivan joining us as he just celebrated the inauguration. And over the weekend, they had the inaugural ball. Mayor, welcome back as we've removed the mayor-elect, and you are now Mayor Sullivan.
Kevin, thank you. As always, it's always just a joy to be on your show, and you're not just a friend. Your track record is proven on you know, how you produce the media, and people that live in Brockton listen, and I know throughout the county. So I just want to thank you again for having me on your show. And, of course, we had a wonderful ceremony, and the party was, you know, over 625 guests.
Wow.
Throughout the city of Brockton and, you know, neighboring communities. And, you know, it's state officials there, local officials, county officials. And it was a great evening. I was just so proud to celebrate it with my family and my friends. And I look forward. I mean, I said this before, Kevin, when you had us on the show, when Jimmy and I were running.
Yep.
You know, Brockton is really poised for greatness. I know, you know, maybe in the past people kind of look at it a certain way, but Brockton's home to me and to so many great, great people. And, you know, 35 minutes on the commuter rail into South Station. We have 3 commuter stops and really affordable housing. And professionals are coming down here. You know, they're not going to Dorchester or Southie or Boston or Quincy or Braintree. The price point in Brockton is working. I just met with Lieutenant Governor Karen Pulido last Thursday, and, you know, a $5 million grant to 30 communities throughout the Commonwealth. And where did they come to announce the grant? City of Champions. It came to City Hall in Brockton, and it's you know, the first week down, and I'm chomping at the bit to make things happen. But it's only going to happen together, and that's my whole mantra. It's working together to benefit the city of Brockton.
It sounds to me like you might have to have a satellite office for the governor's office and for the lieutenant governor. So when they come down here, because they do frequent the city many times, whether it's to kind of tour to see the progress with a lot of different projects and to announce these things.
And, you know, absolutely. And we welcome the Baker Pulido administration to come as much as they want. Lieutenant Governor is coming back again this week to Brockton High School, taking a tour of the facility. And again, you know, we're just privileged to have a wonderful state delegation, you know, Rep Cassidy, Rep Cronin, Rep Dubois, and Senator Brady. And you know, we work in collaboration with the feds. Congressman Lynch came to the inaugural ceremony. And it was just, I mean, he's a U.S. congressman. You know, he doesn't need to come, but he does, because that's Stephen. So I just look forward to working together. I just, last week, it was my first time chairing the school committee. Of course, I served 14 years as a city council at large and 5 times as the council president. But The school committee are just dedicated individuals trying to bettering the lives of the students and the teachers. So, you know, the number one asset, in my humble opinion, are the people in Brockton. And if Brockton was a stock, I'd be buying it. I know that. So it's a two-year term. I spent some time at Harvard University for the mayor's conference for elected officials, and it was 39 of us throughout the nation. And I was the only Massachusetts mayor-elect chosen. And I was the only one with a two-year term. Everybody else was 4 years or 6 years. So we have a short period of time to achieve greatness, and I'm ready, willing, and able to hit the ground running. We have, and I've really assembled a great team. They're not staff in my office. We're a team. My chief of staff, I'd like to announce, her name is Kerry Richards. She grew up in the town of Pembroke here in Plymouth County. She's a graduate of Villanova, Harvard Law School. She worked at the Kennedy School of Government. She worked at the Massachusetts State House and most recently in Boston City Hall. So we just have a really good group of people, and the door is always open. And if you live in Brockton or if you don't live in Brockton, come and visit, because we'd love to see you.
I would ask you this, and that is what has the first week been like for you to get acclimated? You know, here they are, they're putting your name over the doors. You walk into your office, and soon you're going to have your name hanging out in gold leaf right out where the back area there, where they just redid, what is that, where they hold a lot of the ceremonies?
The amphitheater, the old amphitheater.
The amphitheater, yep, thank absolutely. You so much. So what's it like just to know that that is your office now for the next 2 years?
Well, it's humbling. It's very humbling. And, you know, when my wife and my three children and I get out of the car to walk to City Hall and we saw that, it's you know, you take a step back, because there's been so many great leaders in the past. And, of course, you know, dear friends of mine, from Jim Harrington to Linda Balzotti to Jack Units. And, you know, during my speech, I took a moment before I started the inaugural address, and I specifically called out the late Mayor William Carpenter and also Richard Wainwright, two great public servants, two mayors, City of Brockton, that passed away last year. And I wanted to recognize them for their work, and also out of respect for their families. I'm sure it was a very difficult day for both the Carpenter and Wainwright family. And I wanted to take a moment before I started my address. And, you know, my address, it took me hours and hours of writing and editing. And thanks to my wife, Maria, we got it done. And really positive feedback. You know, the message is quite simple. We need to do better. We need to do better together. And I mean that. The key word is together. It's a great community known as Brockton, but we need to do it together in terms of achieving what we want. And, you know, I mentioned it when I was on your show. I want a safer city. I want a cleaner city. I want more investment. $150 million invested 2019 downtown is great, but we can do better than that, and we will. I have a meeting this week with at the State House with Goldberg and Bump, and I've already met with the House Speaker, and I'm going to be meeting with the Senate President. And then later in the month, I'm flying down to Washington, D.C., and I already have a meeting set up with Senator Markey and Congressman Lynch, and I'll also do a dual role. I'll attend the National Mayor's Conference when I'm down there, Kevin. So, you know, I just believe the best way to lead is to listen. You have to be a good listener. And then ultimately, it's to achieve results. And, you know, I have a wonderful colleague and superintendent of the schools, Mike Thomas. Mike and I are coming in together. Mike's class of 1987, and I'm 1988 from Brockton High, so we definitely bleed the red and black. And we are going to make it a better community, I'll tell you that. During my term, you're going to see drastic improvements that are going to benefit the quality of life of people that live in Brockton and work in Brockton.
The thing I would ask you, and that is, what has the, not only the transition been like, but, you know, are you also realizing some of the items that you're going to have to start looking at and tackling? I know one of the things that they made the news was Aquaria, and that's something that could be considered. And also you've got ongoing projects in the city center. You know, and I'm sure you're aware as to what's going on with those projects and how they're going down.
Yeah, and you know, I'm very beneficial, because when I prevailed on November 5th and I was, you know, the mayor-elect, my good friend was sitting in the corner office, Mayor Rodriguez, and Moses was gracious and welcoming, and I sat in on a lot of meetings. And the good thing and fortunate for the city of Brockton is that Moses is no longer mayor. He has now moved back to his role as councilor-at-large. He does it well. He's a very, very productive member of the 11-member board. And he did some things. He teed up some things. There's some things in the queue that I'm aware of. Aquaria, as you mentioned, Kevin, Mayor Rodriguez had signed a letter of intent not a purchase and sale agreement. It's a mere letter of intent that allows the city of Brockton, and now me as the new mayor, as of January 6th, to do some due diligence. The letter of intent is valid until the end of March. And we want to look at everything from, you know, regulations to financial to legal. You know, there is a possibility of an acquisition. And when Mayor Carpenter had floated the idea, I was against it as the city councilor because $78 million, in my humble opinion, didn't make sense. Moses, to his credit, has gotten that down to potentially $64 million. But I want to get a crack at it. I'll be honest. You know, I'm the new mayor now. I love to negotiate. I'm a lawyer by training. So, you know, it's not a done deal in any way. I want to look at everything. Once you acquire something, you, of course, acquire the asset, the good and the bad. So, you know, it is something that's definitely it really at the forefront right now. But this is the thing that I'm doing, and it's something different, and I'm kind of, you know, really proud of it. I've gone door-to-door in every office at City Hall. I've introduced myself to people. Last Friday, I actually had a coffee with the mayor, 8:30 to 9:30. I invited any city employee to come to my office. Both doors were open. Coffee was there, pastries, and it's just to thank people. We're in the people business. We need to remember that at all times. We need to be courteous to people, but I also want to recognize the men and women that come at 8:30 to 4:30. You know, they're municipal employees. They're in the public sector. They don't get paid, you know, like private sector, some of them. So, you know, it's a new culture. It's a new philosophy, and I welcome it. And I'll tell you, I've gotten really great feedback from people, you know. And, you know, I'm not naive. I know some people are afraid of change, but it's going to be positive, healthy change. Mm-hmm. And I have welcomed open dialogue and communication. I'm going to have town hall meetings. It looks like on the 29th of January, Kevin, I'm going to have my community engagement meeting, which is going to be at Brockton High School in the main auditorium. And that's just an open invitation to anybody that lives in Brockton, works in Brockton. We want to hear from the citizens. We want to hear from their concerns. And then ultimately, we're going to prioritize how we address those issues. And, you know, I'll be making some changes soon, beneficial changes. You know, we know that the police chief, John Crowley, is going to be retiring. So there's a lot of different things that are going to be happening in Brockton, good things, positive things. And I love the first week going in there, 45 School Street, opening the door and saying, here we go, team, let's go. Today's a new day. And it's been a good philosophy.
Again, we're speaking with Brockton Mayor Bob Sullivan, and getting his legs under him, first week behind him, talking about some of the things that we're looking at moving forward. I think the thing I would ask you, I know that during the inauguration, we have a new council president, Ward 7, now council president Shirley Azak, and I think there's also a new vice chair who will serve in the capacity of chair when you're not able to attend the school committee meetings.
That's right. So Mark D'Agostino, who's the Ward 3 School Committee member, was elected at the first organizational school committee meeting that I chaired. Our good friend from Ward 1, Attorney Tom Menoncello, served in that capacity very, very well for 10 years. And now there's just a changing of the guard. Tom is still a member of the school committee, and thankfully for that. And Mark stepped up, and he was voted unanimously by his peers. And I'm just thrilled to work with him. And then Council President Shirley Azak, you know, again, 1988, graduate of Brockton High School, we were classmates. She is an unbelievable public servant. We have a standing Friday morning meeting, the president of the council and myself. We've already had it. We're going to do it every week. And again, we're in this together because if you think about it, we're all duly elected the same. We're two-year terms. The mayor's a two-year term, school committee is, city council is. And we just need to work together and also bring in the state delegation. And I said this, Kevin, the days of, you know, putting up barriers or not sharing information, that's counterproductive. And it's not going to happen under my administration, and it hasn't, and it won't. And kill everybody with information, you know, that way everybody's clear. I had my first department heads meeting last Wednesday at 9 o'clock. And I said, listen, we got to get back to simple things that make things easier and conducive to the process. And that is, a much more updated budget book. Of course, when we go into the budget, the city council has to vet it out, and I did it for 14 years. And sometimes it's not as, you know, as professional in scope. You know, you look at some departments and they're photocopied information. That's not going to happen. I want to have a summary of 2019 versus 2020, what's been achieved, what are the projections. So treat it more like a business. I have my MBA, Kevin. I've run a law office for many, many years. So Brockton is a business. It's a $440 million business. Yep. And, You know, it just happens to be the business of the people. So we're going to treat it like that, but we're also never going to get away from the fact that we serve the public.
You've talked about mayor's conferences, and you're going to go down to Washington. Have you had a chance to rub elbows with some of the other mayors here on the South Shore?
Well, I met with Mayor Hedlund from Weymouth. He actually came last week to City Hall.
Nice.
for the grand announcement. It was great. It was great to see him, and the mayor from Newton came as well. And before I was sworn in as mayor, I actually had the honor and privilege to meet at the Collins Institute at UMass Boston with the mayor of Somerville and the mayor of Revere and the mayor of Salem, Kim Driscoll. So again, every mayor that I've spoken to, John Mitchell from New Bedford was one of the first to call me, and Mayor Walsh Marty has spoken to me and given me advice.
Right.
It's just been really, really welcoming. It's a little bit of a daunting task when you think about leading a municipality in the Commonwealth, top five cities size-wise in the Commonwealth. And, the mayors throughout the state have called me, and it's great. So I've rubbed elbows. I've had conference calls. I've had interactions and sharing of ideas. They've given me some great suggestions, and I've been really thankful and really actually lucky that I've met so many nice people. And it's across the line, Republicans and Democrats, and it's just been great. And also, I've had the opportunity since November 5th to have three different meetings with state U.S. Senator Ed Markey, and he was one of the first to call me when I was elected. And of course, Congressman Lynch comes to Brockton quite a bit. And
he does.
His local liaison is a former colleague of mine, Counselor at Large Shayna Byron. So, listen, it's a quick 2 years if you think about it. I wanna hit the ground running, as I said. It's a saying, but it's a fact. And I want to come on your show as much as possible, to be honest with you, Kevin. I think it's a really, really great opportunity to express what we're doing in Brockton. And Brockton, of course, is the only city in Plymouth County. And I've served, I soon have to step down, but over 11 years as Plymouth County Advisory Board Brockton representative. And we have great people countywide, so I look forward to coming on your show as much as you want to have me.
Well, we used to, you and I back in the day when we had the Brockton radio station in Brockton. Now it's actually housed here in Marshfield, and it's known as WBMS with an FM translator. We used to have Counselor's Corner, and I'd have you on a regular basis. And I definitely would love to have you on as you have items that are happening. It doesn't have to be every other week, but we have you on once a month, once every 4 or 5 weeks, just to kind of talk about what's going on in the city, just as a regular update. And I would also throw out there, I've done it one other time before, and that is just to have like a little mayoral summit. Maybe we do it in the summertime when things are kind of slower, and we try to get Mayor Hedlund here, we get you here, Mr. I think it's Kokoros and Braintree, the second mayor.
Braintree,
and then Tom Koch.
I think that's a brilliant suggestion, and I'll say yes right now. I'll jump on that. I would love to do that. I think it would really be healthy conversation, yep. Important conversation that the listeners can learn from, and I'd love to people to call in and share. I've always said this. I want to hear from people, ideas, suggestions, criticisms. That's how you move forward in a positive light.
Mayor, I want to thank you so much for your time. Anything you want to say in closing?
No, I just want to first of all thank you for what you're doing, and I also will definitely be on your show on a regular basis. But really, I just want to wish everybody a happy and healthy 2020. And if you live in Brockton, doors always open. If you're visiting Brockton, please come to City Hall. It's really a beautiful, beautiful building inside. Mm-hmm. There's beautiful artwork, the Strand Theater Memorial statue. And if you went to Forest Avenue to Brockton High School, you'd see the 50-foot Rocky Marciano statue. So by all means, come to the City of Champions. We welcome you with open arms.
There he is, Brockton Mayor Bob Sullivan joining us, and look forward to many, many more appearances from the mayor. We're going to step aside, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk right here on 95.9 WATD.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
I'm Mary Ellen from Your CBD Store in Hanover. With my background in health education here in the South Shore, I know all about managing chronic pain. The results I found from people in my life and from millions of other people across the country using CBD oil has led me to open Your CBD Store on Route 53 in Hanover. However, there's lots of misinformation about CBD. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp. Your CBD Store of Hanover only sells products made from industrialized certified hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. There's absolutely no marijuana in products sold by Your CBD Store of Hanover. In fact, most of our products contain no THC. CBD has many targeted uses. Visit our boutique-style store. We would love to explain how we can make it work for you. Your CBD Store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD Store of Hanover. Help without the high.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
If you want a drink, that's your business. If you want to stop, that's for Alcoholics Anonymous.
AA is an inclusive fellowship of individuals all around the world. The one thing you need to ask yourself is, am I ready to do something about my drinking problem?
There is no shame in living with the disease called alcoholism.
For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, and to find a meeting near you, visit AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
Download previous episodes of Monday Night Talk and listen to them anywhere. Check out 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Back. Thank you, Ben. Ben, kind enough to play. I realized I spent all weekend after hearing the news of Neil Peart passing away, drummer for Rush. Interesting enough, you know, he was not the original. And I heard radio stations playing the song Working Man. And what's funny is that he was not the drummer on that album. but no, I actually saw them a couple of times.
You're probably the only one that doesn't know that. The only one that knows that, probably.
No, there's people who, but I know he passed away. Ben's raising his hand. He goes, yeah, I knew that.
Not that I have any outstanding information you guys don't already know, but a little side note from the day after he passed away, because, of course, what's the first thing that every band in the universe is going to want to do? They want to do tribute songs. So that was a big joke in the AV world. Which Rush song can we do? Correct answer, none of them, because they're all extremely difficult to play.
They are. They are, especially with the drummer of Neil's immense talents. He was one of a kind. And to see him live in concert, and knowing that it was the 30th annual, I mean, the 30th anniversary of them forming as being together as a group, a trio with Lifeson and Geddy Lee. Yeah, we're not here to give you a music minute, but I want to thank you. I was lucky to find CD out in the car that I was listening to over the weekend. I totally, we're putting our heads together. What have we got in the system? And it was like, oh, we only got one song. And I'm like, when they said what the song was, and I don't want to say anything because it just wasn't one of the ones that I'd rather hear a little YYZ or something like that, like you just heard just a moment ago, courtesy of Ben playing the CD for me. Thank you so much, Ben. I appreciate it. And I want to thank my next guest for being patient enough, even though he may not be a professed Rush fan. He was kind enough to at least let me give a little bit of a tribute to Neil Peart and his passing. We have State Representative Matt Muratori, who is joining us. Welcome back.
Hey, it's good to be back. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you as well. Peter and I were kind of, we actually thumb wrestled
yes.
during the break to see who was going to ask you the first question, and Peter actually won. So, Peter, if you'd like, what's the first thing you want to ask the representative right out of the box?
It's interesting. We got some interesting stuff coming up this year in the Senate race to take over Vinny's spot, and you and I were kind of talking about it the past couple of weeks. And so, who are some of the people that are running?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. First of all, you know, as you know, you and I went to, Peter and I went to lunch today, and we're talking about putting together a tribute for Vinny. As you know, Vinny DiMaceto retired after 21 years, mm-hmm. and the community has been, you know, emailing me, calling me, and saying, we got to do something. What are we going to do? So we're kind of formulating plans now for that, so sometime in April, so we'll be talking about that. So first of all, you know, I miss the hell out of Vinny.
Yeah.
You know, we used to talk every day. Now we talk maybe twice or two or three times a week, so we still talk. But, so the race is getting very interesting. I think it's maybe three Republicans and four Democrats that are now running. The primary will be on March 3rd. There was some debate about that, when that was going to be. So I think in fairness, and particularly Vinny was always about fairness and respect to everyone, I think having the primary on March 3rd makes sense during the presidential primary.
Right.
And then having the election on its own on March 31st makes a lot of sense. You know, you have Becky Kletter out of Pembroke that's running.
Yeah.
It's really an interesting field. And I have to say on the outset that it's a field that I think is going to be well-respected field that is actually out there. There's some really good people that
and
are out there running.
And that's what amazed me. You and I were talking about is the experience level that's coming up.
Yeah, you got Becky in Pembroke. Then you go down to Sue Moran down in Falmouth, you know, a selectman down there. I think Becky's on the planning board, I think.
Yeah.
And then you got Joe Moakley's grandnephew Thomas in Falmouth running as well. So you got Tupple in Falmouth. Then on the Republican side, you have a selectman, Jared Sullivan, who's out of Bourne, along with Jay McMahon, who ran for AG before, mm-hmm. who are Republicans running out of Bourne. And then Mike Stanton out of Sandwich, who's run before for office. And then you have in Plymouth, my hometown, you have Selectman John Mahoney and also Jesse Brown,
who runs
the Hedera for Heroes.
Yeah, he's our veterans chair at the chamber. Yeah,
at the chamber, yeah. So it's going to be very interesting. I personally think that, and maybe it's my bias, but I think it's going to be somebody from Plymouth that will actually win the seat. I think it's difficult for people that live over the bridge to want people from somebody on this side of the bridge and vice versa. But with that said, I think, you know, Plymouth being the largest community in the voting block, historically it seems to have gone that way, you know, with Terry for 22 years and then Vinny for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years. So, it's going to be very interesting. I'm looking forward to the debates on both sides, and we'll see where it goes from there.
It's interesting that you say that, because I was thinking this. I think they're all great candidates. Mm. I've had a chance to speak with the majority of them. It'll be interesting to see, you know, if a candidate is at the northern part of the district, if they're able to draw from folks in Plymouth or the Pine Hills alone, for crying out loud.
Pine Hills alone
is their own voting block.
Yeah.
And then over on the other side of the bridge, are you going to have those people going to mobilize, or are they going to just vote for their own?
Yeah.
On that side of the bridge,
and it's such a short time frame to get that. We talked earlier off air about the getting the name recognition out there.
Right.
I think that's going to be really big in this. Usually in a special election like this, usually it favors the Republicans for the most part, because we are in somewhat of a conservative area, other than Falmouth. But but we'll see how it plays. I would be honestly, I'd be happy to work with any of them.
It's just such a tall task.
Yeah.
You're running in the special, and if you are fortunate enough to be one of the nominees to be on the special election ballot, as soon as you get elected, if you are elected, you are immediately back out campaigning because you want to be reelected for the full 2-year term.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say. It's going to be the hard part. I think you may see whatever happens on March 31st may be different come November.
Right.
It could be a different turnout. It could be a different person altogether. You just don't know. I remember discussing this with Senate President Therese Murray recently. Actually, it was actually on Halloween. It was Halloween on Main Street with the chambers, and we were talking about this. And she said to me, you know, they're going to have to, whoever it's going to be, they're going to have to raise about $250,000 next year. I said, what, for one race? She goes, no, it's two races. You got to be about $125,000 for each race. For a Senate race. It's amazing.
And, you know, the perfect person probably to ask about having to go through such a task would be State Senator Patrick O'Connor.
Yeah, absolutely.
He would know that when Bob Hedlund secured his, you know, his seat as mayor in Weymouth. Patrick was out there. He won, and then immediately he'd get back out there and run again. And he did a great job.
Yeah.
He was reelected, and he's proven to folks that
He's a great guy.
He's a great guy. Yeah, just a nice person altogether.
So, let's talk about another great guy. You,
Joe. Thanks. Yeah, exactly. I love talking about me. My favorite subject. Just kidding.
How are things going? Here we are. It's the second half of the legislative session.
Yeah.
What are you expecting?
Well, we're expecting a lot. There's been speculation that we're going to be taking up several pieces of legislation. Usually, the second half of a session, we take up the economic development bill, the jobs bill, that they call it. So, I think we'll be taking up an economics development bill. We're also going to continue working on education budget as well. As you know, we changed some of the funding for that recently. Now waiting for the governor's budget to come out to see how much is going to be this first year. But I think you'll still see some more changes for the education budget. I also think that sports betting and gaming will be something. So we're looking at revenue enhancement as well. So it didn't come out the first half of the session. So I really think that it probably will come out this half. The revenue is what's driving the Democratic Party right now. Is how can we get some more revenue in, because the projection for revenue is starting to go down a little bit. They're looking at a 2.8% increase in revenue for this coming budget coming up, that's going to be coming out from the governor, which is less than 3.5, which it was the year before. So the revenue projections are coming a little bit lower. So I think they're looking for other ways to gain some revenue. Healthcare obviously is one of the areas that I am an expert in, that I really like to work on healthcare financing and trying to find ways that we can start chipping away at making healthcare more affordable in the Commonwealth. Pharmacy, prescription drugs is one area that we've been looking at. So I think you're going to see us take up some a healthcare bill as well. Housing, the government's been trying to push this housing bill for a couple of years now, try to get more affordable housing in, whether it's workforce housing, housing for seniors, housing for disability people, et cetera, more housing in general. So I think that may finally come up and have a vote, maybe not till July, but I think that will finally come out. And then we're looking at some transportation revenue and some climate change issues as well.
But when you say transportation revenue, the one thing I think of, it was something that was brought up a couple of years ago, and I wouldn't doubt if it's something that's bandied about down the road, and that is an open road tax or a tolling tax, per se, like a mileage tax.
Yeah, there's been a little bit more discussion about that. I just don't see the will of legislators to do that. But there will be some other ways that they're going to look at try to increase revenue for transportation, for better roads and MBTA and
all the
infrastructure and all that. Yeah.
Is it worth asking you in regards to last year's budget you signed into law in July? Was that 42 billion?
41 million.
Billion.
I'm sorry, billion. Yeah.
So is it safe to say that you're gonna it'll crawl, it'll be more than 42 billion or maybe closer to 43 billion? Still waiting. We've got a couple of weeks before we get House 1.
It's gonna be it'll be well over 42 billion, maybe closer to the 43 billion. Is my guess. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And remember, the education money's in that now too, because we didn't raise revenue to actually pay for the education bill, which is 1.2 billion over 7 years.
Wow.
So that's gonna come out of this budget.
Before I let Peter ask his next question, I have to ask a selfish question on my own, but also knowing that it's a relevant problem here in the Commonwealth, and that is nursing home, nursing care, especially when we're talking about our seniors and folks who need a home. I know that there's been problems financially when it comes to nursing care. We've seen a series of nursing homes around the Commonwealth that have closed because they have had trouble balancing their books. Is there going to be any kind of legislation that's going to be worked on to at least either assist or at least keep an eye on these facilities around the state?
Yeah, there's been over 40 homes that have closed in the last the last couple of years. We were at 425 homes. Now we're down to 370-something, I think.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's still dropping. There's another home in Great Barrington that's closing as we speak. And I think there'll be more that will close. One of the things that was put into last year's budget that we're working on, and I was fortunate enough to be assigned to the Nursing Home Task Force. Every legislator is concerned about their communities and nursing home care. And it's not just the nursing home care, it's the whole continuum of care. I think we all believe that people should stay home as long as they can. So whatever we can do to put money towards that to keep people home. But there's also other levels of care that could be had, whether it's a rest home, adult day program, whether it's assisted living, or whether it's nursing home. So we're looking at the Nursing Home Task Force. We're looking at nursing homes, but we're also looking at the continuum of care and figure out a way, you know, where's the best way to put that money, and then where will some of that money come from? So the goal is to stabilize nursing homes as best we can in year one. It's not going to happen all at once, but I think it will happen in stages. The interesting part is there's a citizen petition that has been filed and has been accepted by the Secretary of State for a bill that will come up in the November election that will basically say that nursing homes will be funded at a cost based on the last previous 2 years. Right now, nursing homes costs are based on right now 2014, but as we know, the minimum wage has gone up since then. There's been the all sorts of other, you know, paid medical leave that has gone up. A lot of things have gone up. It hurt small businesses, and nursing home industry is not any different than any other business. I think you're going to have to see some changes on that line, but it may be in a way that it's incentivized in a way that you, for quality, if you reach one level or scoring, you get this amount of money. If your occupancy reaches this amount of level, you get this amount of money. Mm-hmm. And if you don't reach those, then you don't get as much. So eventually you got to make plans to do something different with your building or just go out of business altogether.
Well, that's one of the things we were talking about earlier, was not just the funding of it, but the oversight of it, the inspections of the facilities and stuff like that. Will that be part of the bill also?
Yeah, we kind of talked about that a little bit. The homes that are having more issues, right, with quality, is there a way to actually have more oversight of them? The answer we got from the Department of Public Health is we don't have the resources for that. Right. So I suggested, well, why don't we look at outside agencies like hospitals are surveyed by Joint Commission of Accredited, JACO.
Right.
Joint Commission, and utilize them, have the facilities pay for that to increase their quality, and if they do it, great. If they don't, if they can't afford it, don't want to do it, then that's fine. But we have to help incentivize places to do better for quality, because that's what the seniors deserve.
Yeah, and then when you're looking at most of the senior population's going up, what, the 3 or 4% a year?
Yeah.
And
baby boomers, by 2030 are gonna be,
that's right,
they're there. So they're gonna be needing the services. Right. All the services that I mentioned.
Right.
Home care, et cetera.
Okay, we're speaking with State Representative Matt Muratori, who is our guest for this segment. He's also here for talk a little bit about the Plymouth 400th. That's right. America's Hometown is celebrating a birthday, and there are many events. We'll talk about that in just a couple of moments, as we expect to have Michelle Pecoraro, Executive Director of Plymouth 400, here in studio to join us and chat with us. What are you looking at as far as any personal legislation? Do you have anything that you have in the works, or anything that you're going to refile? What happens in regards to this part of the session?
Well, we've everything that was filed has been filed. We just filed an apprentice bill for electricians. But other than that, everything has already been filed. Right now, my concentration for this year is really on 2020. Trying to get people to understand it's not just a party about Plymouth, because all my colleagues have already said, oh, when's that party going to happen? Now they're looking for their invites.
Right.
But when are we going to be invited? What's going to be happening? So they understand it's getting something bigger now, but we're still going to need some more funding for it, so we're going to be concentrating on that as well. But it's really going to be spent on really the 2020 and educating people on the events and getting people there and et cetera. So, because this is the beginning of the 400th for the Commonwealth, with Boston being in 2030.
And there are as you said, other communities
yeah.
in and around the state that right. are also celebrating anniversaries as well.
Exactly right. And we're the first, Plymouth is the first. Yeah, this is about
Quincy's
the Commonwealth.
Quincy's the second one.
Quincy's coming up, I think, in 2025, maybe, yeah, or 2024. Like that, yeah. Duxbury's close, too. Duxbury's yeah. up in a couple of years as well.
Hanson, I believe it's the 200th.
Yep. Yeah, right.
So this is yeah. a bunch of different ones.
Yeah.
What do you do in the second half of a legislative session? I mean, you're a veteran now. I mean, what do you look forward to?
You know,
is it the getting back out there and campaigning, or is it a matter of just, you know?
No, it's not the campaigning. No. I like the work. I really do. I don't mind the campaigning, but it's a necessary evil. Let's put it that way. But I love the work. I wish the breaks weren't so long between Thanksgiving and the first of the year.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I like the work. I like, you know, going in weekly, you know, in session, and then, you know, when we have committee meetings, et cetera, and just getting the work done. We do a lot of work in the district as well, but also in Boston, getting things done. So I think there'll be a lot of push for a lot of last-minute legislation. As you know, there's 5,000 to 6,000 bills that are yeah. filed, and you only end up doing about 250 or 300 or so. So I think there's going to be a lot of push for a lot of bills. Everyone's going to be bucking to get their bill, you know, passed on the House floor.
Is there anything that you've signed on to or co-sponsored that really has a chance of passing and being adopted?
Yeah, I'm hoping this time around, and it's been for several years even before me, it's for the veterans organizations to talk about the gambling, to have actually slot machines. Within their organizations. And if every organization that's a veterans organization could have a slot machine, it helps with their cost in their buildings, helps run their buildings, et cetera. And, you know, honestly, we all know that there are buildings that have these. Let's make it legal so they can do it. Let the Gaming Commission oversee it and take some revenue for it. They're all fine with that. So it's a bill that co-sponsored with Kathy Lenatra, and that we think it may have some legs this time around. There's a lot more discussions about it.
It's worth noting, and I give a quick shout out to Joe Campbell, who listens to the show, and actually I promised you I'm going to have him on to be a co-host on the program one of these days. Mm-hmm. Would gave a thumbs up. He of course lives in the town of Hanson, mm-hmm. and appreciated that the mention about, you know, the Hanson celebrating its 20th yeah. anniversary.
Oh, good, good. One quick thing I do want to mention too that we're looking at is climate change. I think there's going to be some legislation coming out. You may have heard that there's a Transportation Climate Initiative tax, a TCI tax that yep. the governor seems to be pushing. There are 11 states that are actually looking at this, and it's really how to pay for the green emissions reductions that we're looking at in the Commonwealth and all throughout all these states over the next several years. There was legislation passed a few years ago. You have to meet certain benchmarks. So this is one way to do it. I don't personally think it's the way to do it, this TCI tax, to actually do it. I think there's actually other ways that we could probably look within the budget to try to do that.
Right.
It may happen anyways. The wholesale gas markets may force it on retailers anyways.
Yep.
But we may also be looking at gas tax as well on top of the TCI tax, which I don't think is the right way to go.
No. Well, gentlemen, that concludes the first hour. Our 7 o'clock guest is here. So
welcome.
What we will do right now is we'll step aside for a moment. And when we come back, speak with Michelle Pecoraro. Talk about everything Plymouth 400. In just a few moments here, you're listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WBT.
You're doing great.
ATD-FM Marshfield, WMEX Quincy, WPMS Brockton, and Translator W266TA Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Hi, I'm Jim from your CBD store of Hanover. I've been a small business owner on the South Shore for 20 years. The results I've found from people in my life and from millions of other people across the country using CBD oil has led me to open your CBD store on Route 53 in Hanover. However, there's lots of misinformation about CBD. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp. Your CBD store of Hanover only sells products made from industrialized certified hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. There's absolutely no marijuana in products sold by your CBD store of Hanover. In fact, most of our products contain no THC. CBD has many targeted uses. Come visit our boutique-style store. We would love to explain how we can make it work for you. Your CBD Store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD Store of Hanover. Help without the high.
The new patio at McGuigan's offers alfresco dining in downtown Whitman. Seafood lovers will love the shrimp scampi, lobster leg tacos, and fish tacos. If you prefer something meatier, the patio's braised short rib dinner and 14-ounce pork chops are customer favorites. Into the latest food trends? Try the patio's Beyond Burger and flatbread pizza. The patio has 7 55-inch TVs and a 9-foot video wall, making it the perfect place to eat, drink, and socialize. And don't forget McGuigan's Pub next door. They're located at 546 and 552 Washington Street in Whitman.
What is AA? Alcoholics Anonymous is an international fellowship of men and women who've had a drinking problem.
It is non-professional and self-supporting.
AA is multiracial, apolitical, and available almost everywhere.
There are no age or education requirements. Membership is open to anyone who wants to do something about their drinking problem.
For more information, literature, and videos about Alcoholics Anonymous, and to find a meeting near you, visit AA.org. Alcoholics Anonymous has a solution.
Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right. Welcome back. Hour number two of Monday Night Talk. Later this hour, we will speak with Melissa Valkovic. She is with the Hanson PTO. And we're going to talk a little bit about the second annual Cranberry Cove Polar Plunge.
Where do they have the polar plunge?
Freezing for a reason.
Yeah.
Cranberry Cove. It's Camp Kewaunee.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Billy Boyle.
When's that in June?
Billy Boyle. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. He's doing a great job over there.
Is it in June?
No, it's in 2 weeks.
Oh,
nice. Actually, hold on. It's a week from Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Week from Sunday, technically. So yeah. We'll talk. But welcome back to State Matters with Matt Muratore. I do enjoy that show, by the way. And I'm talking about Matt Muratore's cable program.
Yeah, it's my 10th year now.
He does
tenth
down year. At PAC TV. You did a great job.
Thank you.
I didn't even know it. I thought it was like a brand new show.
Yeah. Well, we started as Today in Plymouth when I was a selectman in 2010.
Then
we became a state rep in 2015. We changed the format to State Matters. Now it connects the state with local and how that works.
My good friend Julie Thompson down there doing a great job.
Great job, yeah. I'm on the PAC board of directors.
I know you are. I know you are. Everybody here wears multiple hats. Yeah. You guys are all. And Michelle, welcome welcome to the crowd.
Hi, Kevin.
You get to be the rose amongst some thorns here, right?
Oh, no. I think we have a bunch of roses.
I'm a big thorn of hers.
No, I have other thorns, but they're not in this room.
So here we are, 2020. It's here already.
Well, not already. I mean, it feels like forever, and yet it feels like just yesterday.
Where do we stand in when we're talking about the celebration of the colony, of appreciating 400 years.
Right. So the rubbers hit the road. We got amazing press in this last quarter. We got Fromers, which is a very well-known international publication for travel. We were voted in the top 20 of the top 100 places to absolutely visit in 2020. We were in Rough Guides, which is another travel guide. We were in USA Today. And I was quoted, and other people around Plymouth were quoted in that article. And we just got involved in, or we just got an article in a magazine called Destinations, which is a trade magazine for tour operators. Mm-hmm. And we were voted as, you know, the top place to go in 2020. So Forbes.
Top 25.
Yeah. And there are others. Early American Life had a nice spread on Plymouth and Plymouth Plantation. So it's happening. We know it's happening. We're seeing it in the media. We're seeing it in an uptick in all of our events throughout Plymouth this year. We parked, 900 cars this year at the Thanksgiving parade. That's about 500 more or 400 more than we've parked in the past. So big jumps like that are good indicators.
You know, you're right about the parade. You could see after all these years. I mean, the parade, you see tens of thousands of people come, but you could see this year.
It exploded.
Absolutely. So people knew something was happening.
Yeah. Right. Even Waterfront Festival, all those things exploded
that too.
This year.
Yep.
That was probably another 30,000 people than they usually see.
Yeah.
So we know it's going to happen. We're prepared for it. We have public safety meetings. We have transportation and parking meetings. We're really working on making sure the visitors and residents have a nice time and have a good visit. And for the sake of tourism, the economy here in Plymouth is tourism is our number one economy. And for the sake of that, we hope that people will return. So they have to have a good experience in 2020 so that they'll come back.
Peter? Well, one of the things that we've been involved in as far as the chamber goes is the business community is now stepping up and they're starting to ask more questions than we've ever seen before, specifically when you had the information thing you did this morning at the chamber building. What do you see as far as what can we do as a business community to help the 400 become more successful?
Well, I think that goes both ways. You know, we have to provide opportunities for the business community to participate in meaningful ways for their businesses. So we do have, for example, at each of the events, we try to build in something that they will do or be part of. For example, for opening ceremony, well, not everybody's going to be able to fit inside Memorial Hall. So we have activities going on around the waterfront and on the Main Street, but we're asking all the businesses to open their doors, tune in to NBC 10 or NECN, where we will be broadcasting the ceremony from Memorial Hall Live.
April 24th.
Yep.
And during the day, it's all kicks off at around 10:30 and goes till around 1:30. And so we're asking them to open their doors, invite their favorite, you know, clients and customers in, have a watch party, offer them something nice. You know, not that you can't charge them either, but it's just going to be great because there's a procession that will be coming down that street, and all those businesses will have the first look at that procession for the first time ever because we reversed the parade route. So we're doing a few things differently. People are a little bit nervous about that, but I think this is the time to do some things differently.
Yeah.
Matt?
I just want to compliment Michelle and her team for the job they've done over the last several years. It's just, it's amazing to see how this has actually come together. And the different people that you've been able to get involved, and a lot of it is volunteers that they've been able to get on all these subcommittees, as you talked about the Transportation Committee and Public Safety and et cetera. It's just, you know, I went to that meeting you had on Friday at the 1620 Hotel. It's amazing the amount of diverse people that are in this room that are interested in what's happening and what they can do to make this successful. One of the things you did talk about is, you know, can you go in a little bit more detail about the April 24th event and what can people expect? Who can they expect to be there?
Sure. As you know, we have invited several dignitaries. We know for a fact that we are going to see the Lord Mayor of London, the Lord Mayor of Plymouth, England, Prince Michael of Kent, who is part of this royal family line. He's about 23rd, but that's okay. He's also part of the Ancient Artillery of London, all who will be here and marching in the procession. We have the Earl of Devon and his wife. He has an American wife, and they lived in L.A. for a while. So he kind of oversees Mayflower 400 over in the U.K. So we have some dignitaries from there. We've invited dignitaries from the mayor of Leiden in the Netherlands. We've invited, we are making an ask to the royal family in the Netherlands as well for a representative. And our colleagues who we've worked alongside for the last 6 years, you know, they will also be in attendance from London, from England, and from the Netherlands.
Prince Harry and his new wife?
Well, it depends on where they end up living, I suppose, but
I think they're out.
I think the royals are we did get word that that the royals, that part of the family, we aren't going to probably see. And it's because of the incredible volume, I guess, of requests that they have had to come to America for different things. So, so not us, but we have a pretty nice array of people. We've got people from our Wampanoag Nation. We'll have, you know, both the chairman and chairwoman of the Mashpee and the Aquinna tribe are invited. We'll have a contingent or a delegation from the Wampanoag tribes as well. And of course, General Society of Mayflower Descendants, New England Historic Genealogical Society, Plymouth Plantation, Pilgrim Hall Museum, all of the pilgrim organizations, you know, will be in attendance. So it will be a wonderful festive day with a procession down the center of town that will round the corner at Memorial Hall where this ceremony will take place. The bands will all go down to the waterfront where they'll play. You know, they'll play concerts. We'll have reenactors down there. And with all the businesses opening their doors the way we hope they will, then, you know, people are going to have all kinds of places to go. And we're doing a luncheon at the Hotel 1620, which is also a watch party with a speaker. So,
and you have a keynote speaker that you're working on for Memorial Hall.
We are working on a keynote speaker. We don't have that person yet, but you'll be the first to know. I'll come on your show and announce that.
Okay, Matt. Sounds nice. Good.
called State Matters. You watch on PAC TV as well as it's shared
we'll
around the Commonwealth. Get the word out any way that you can. How important is making sure that everybody's involved, especially the Wampanoag people, and telling their story along with the story of, you know, the settlers?
Yeah, well, you know, we need to balance the story. We've lived for 400 years and told this story over and over as part of our history. And in the process, it has gotten a little bit changed, a little bit mythologized, and attaching it to Thanksgiving really in the 1900s was really the thing that catapulted this story. This history, and so that everybody knows about it because of Thanksgiving. But what do they know is the question. And you know, we can't unlearn the many centuries, you know, of information that we have learned. But we have to start to unlearn some of it and to really relook at it and see from all perspectives what was the true history here and what really happened to these people.
And part of that legacy, you want to talk about the books that Superintendent Maestas is putting together.
Absolutely. So Dr. Gary Maestas, who's the superintendent of Plymouth Public Schools, I went to him with a publisher who was looking to publish a book called The Chronicles. They had done it for other states. It's funny because they're from the UK, but they have done it for several other states in the U.S., and it's basically a timeline history of the state. And Massachusetts, we found, really doesn't have any such thing. There is no book for students in schools that tells the history of Massachusetts. So this does that. And Bridgewater State University is supporting it as well, and we are going to get 35 copies of that book and the timeline into every single school in Massachusetts. Every school.
Wow. Think how many schools there are in Massachusetts.
That's a lot.
So yeah. It's because of the kindness of some great donors attached to Bridgewater and the state. Because didn't you
I'll
get
pat
a,
myself on the back.
Well, didn't Matt
and that guy, what was his name?
Vinny?
The senator?
Vinny.
Vinny. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, he texted me today and I was like, who's this?
I always say, Vinny who?
I think it's worth asking is what is the bigger signature event that may be around the corner or down or that we're closing in on right now?
I got one.
What is it?
It's called the Maritime Salute to the 400th anniversary to the Mayflower Voyage. And that is a 2-day event, and that's June 28th and 29th.
27th and 28th.
27th and 28th. I just know
because it's my birthday, the 27th.
Oh, we'll have to make sure we do something big at the Maritime Festival.
How about fireworks?
Okay, sounds
good.
We'll do a lighted boat parade.
I'll take that. Coast Guard
demonstrations. We'll do a lobster bake just
for
you.
You can shoot a cannon. We'll have a cannon.
And you can shoot one of the howitzers off.
Yeah, there you go.
So that is a 2-day event. We have six wooden masted ships coming into Plymouth Harbor, which we never could have done before if it weren't for the state of Massachusetts, the federal government, and the town of Plymouth getting together doing the dredging that has needed to be done since 1952. And now we have a whole new economy burgeoning on the waterfront because of that. We'll be able to invite cruise ships, small cruise ships, visiting ships like these ships that, that the chamber has brought in, smaller ones year after year.
Right.
But
I just want to say it's when you say cruise ships, I can just see people getting off going, this doesn't look like Bermuda.
Well, they'll see the palm trees at Cabby Shack, they'll be all better.
Oh, okay. Exactly. Yeah.
Get some chowder over there.
So so day one, we have a lighted boat parade in the evening. We have fireworks in the evening. Then the next day, we do it all over again with lobster bakes and demonstrations and concerts and all kinds of activities. And then at the end of that day, before the visiting ships leave, they'll be a blessing of the fleet to send them off on their way. So that's an exciting two-day event.
And then there are five more events after that.
Right. In fiscal year 2021.
Yeah, right.
How are things going as far as getting volunteers and getting people to be on board to assist as you need for an event like that, a signature event like
that? Well, you know, Cheryl Soares in my office oversees several things, but the big thing for 2020 is volunteers. In fact, I've said to her, clear the decks. We're going to have to take things off your plate because this is going to be full time. Mm-hmm. We have 800 people signed up to volunteer. That's up from 700 just like 3 months ago. We took some of those folks, we asked if they would like to, you know, get a little more education and be ambassadors for the 400th anniversary. And we have 80 people who went through a special interpretive course where they learned, how to answer questions to the public. They learned how to deal with the public, how to, a little bit of crisis management, a little bit of emergency management, but mostly making sure that people get where they're going and are happy with what, are happy with their experience. There are 80 of them, and they paid actually to take the course.
Wow.
And they're volunteering their time. So we have amazing, amazing support from Plymouth and the surrounding towns. You know, not all the volunteers are just from Plymouth. We have, our service organizations in Plymouth have been incredibly helpful. The Rotary, the Lions Club. I know I'm going to leave somebody out, but everyone has been amazingly helpful. So we just have, we're at go time. We're excited and terrified.
And again, we're speaking with Michelle Pecoraro. She is the executive director of Plymouth 400. Of course, go to the website, Plymouth400INC.org. You can find out to get a full rundown of some of the things going on, whether it's the events calendar, whether it's to get involved, the media, if you want to shop.
Yes, we have. Oh, I have a little gift for you, Kevin.
I have a
little commemorative gift.
As she backs away from the table ever so slowly, she takes it out.
So this is your official commemorative Plymouth 400 medal. It's not a coin. It's a medal. Yeah.
Do not call this a coin.
Do not call this a coin.
This is fantastic. Should I wear some special white gloves to take this
Absolutely
out?
Absolutely not. Just pull that right out of there.
Okay. All right. I was trying to pretend I was a numismatist.
Yeah, and you said that very well. I can't get that word out.
We've had Richard Hand on here, who is a professional.
Yeah.
I can't get it.
Jeez. Okay. So we have a retail site with official merchandise on our website, and you can also buy some of it inside.
Being all dainty with it, she's like
inside our office. There you go.
She ripped the whole box apart.
I've done this a few times.
It was a nice box. It was one time.
This is fantastic.
They're tightly stuck in there.
So if you would describe what we see, so you get the 400, Plymouth 400s, is that like the emblem?
That's
is that the
our
official
logo, yes, logo? With the native person and the Mayflower.
What? Yeah, right in the...
that's he's fantastic. Standing on the shore watching the Mayflower do whatever it's doing, either floating in the harbor or coming in.
Is there a stamp coming out too?
Yes, the Postal Service has decided to do a stamp. It is a a stamp of the Mayflower in the harbor. And that, I'm not sure what the date is going to be for that. They will do a launch of that stamp sometime in 2020, but we don't have a date yet. The U.S. Mint is doing two commemorative coins as well. I can't remember if they're gold, silver. There's, you know, there's a couple of different denominations that they're going to do. But they have, they actually got a call from the British Mint. And the British Mint said, hey, we're doing a Mayflower, you know, coin, so what are you doing? And I think it was a little bit of a challenge because we've been trying to get them to do a coin for about 10 years. And so all it took was a call from the UK.
Yeah.
Now, then again, on the other side, that's the Mayflower just sailing along, right?
That's the Mayflower with all the themes of the commemoration around the edge.
My goodness. Mm-hmm. I mean, what went into planning this medal?
Well, we did work with a designer who has done them before, and we did order that from a United States company here in, I believe, Rhode Island.
Press these, yeah.
Yep. And so we, you know, we worked with some specialists that knew what they were doing.
So,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think it's, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't thank all our media partners that have been helping out, including
WATD,
you know, Ed Perry and WATD
from the very beginning.
Yeah, Old Colony Memorial and
OCM,
that whole
Gatehouse Media, which is now Gannett, and they just came and did a presentation.
Yep. NBC 10, NECN.
Yep.
Telemundo.
Yep. Absolutely. And you know, and the many other outlets that have given us some airtime and given us some play in their print materials. You know, we just saw something come out of the Boston Herald this week, or end of last week. So, you know, people are really getting the word out. We were on CVB, we were on Fox this past quarter. So we appreciate everybody's help in getting the word out. And we certainly appreciate the State Commission and Dusty Rhodes for all of the work that they do.
Yes.
And that she does specifically to help us, you know, move this forward and get off the stick.
We always say it's not just a Plymouth event. It's the whole Commonwealth, but it's a national, international event as well.
Absolutely.
And you see it all coming together now that way.
How many of these commemorative medals have you had made, and how can someone get one of these? Because this is fantastic.
Yeah, so we sold the first order we made were 500, and we sold them within probably 4 or 5 months. And so this is our second order. We've got plenty right now, and we'll continue to order. We also have a beautiful ornament that sold out the day we put it up on our site. For Christmas, we sold them all out. We only ordered 250 because it was kind of late in the season. We thought, oh, you know, we're not going to sell these because it's 2 weeks before Christmas. And bam, the day they hit our website, they were gone. Yeah.
How about two?
Yeah. So we just ordered more of those. We have more of those in. So you can
second
buy
edition.
Them all year. Second edition, yeah.
How many did you do?
This time we did 1,500.
Okay.
And you can go online to order this
mm-hmm.
stuff, too, huh?
Yes, you can go on our site to get it, or you can come into our office, which is at 6 Main Street Extension. It's the post office building in Plymouth, and we love for people to come in and ask questions and buy things and find out more, volunteer.
We just got a few more minutes left here with Michelle Pecoraro. I don't want to be the person who asks the last question, unless one of you gentlemen has something that you want to ask or something that you want to mention. That maybe I've overlooked.
Well, one of the questions I had was the ticketed events. Mm-hmm. So where can people get information on that?
Yes, so we do not have the tickets up on sale on the site yet, but
okay.
They will be on our website. When we say ticketed events, really, the only event that will be ticketed for an admission will be the Embarkation Festival, which comes later in the year.
Thank goodness.
However, we do have some tickets for sale for Memorial Hall. We have tickets for the luncheon at the Hotel 1620 that will include a watch party and speaker, as well as the lunch. For the Maritime Festival, we are going to, well, Wood Seafood is going to serve...
Yes.
We're going to do a traditional lobster clam bake. That's the only thing that anybody can order. We're not going to give it, you know, we're not going to have a kid's size. It's just one price, one meal.
Nice.
We're going to do three seatings of 300 people both days.
Where's this going to be?
in Nelson Park.
Nelson Park.
Nice. Yeah, we'll have a tented area. The Lobstermen's Association's working with us on it, and Wood Seafood and Pioppi's, you know, for the.
And that's going to be a ticketed event.
A ticketed event, and every ticketed event is truly a fundraiser as well for Planet 400 as we move through the year.
One quick question: there's 7 signature events, but how many other events are there that are associated with us?
Thank you.
Our calendar has over 100 what we call partner events. Internally, we call them sanctioned events because we say yes or no to them, but mostly we say yes. And so those events are all on our calendar. They are statewide. They're the events that are taking place in the UK and Leiden in the Netherlands. There are events in Provincetown, in Duxbury, wherever anyone is doing an event related to the 400th history. We've put that on our calendar, and we have well over 100 statewide and in all those locations. So you have to go to the calendar and really kind of dig in and see what's there, because there's so much.
Is there anything that we haven't mentioned or talked about during this brief segment this evening?
Well, I mean, everybody should feel that they can come. I know a lot of people, or some people, you know, have expressed, well, it's going to be really crowded. I don't know that I want to go. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Right.
You're going to tell you're going to bring your kids, and they're going to tell their kids, just like people that we know in town today say, I was sitting on Coles Hill when the Mayflower came in. I was sitting on Coles Hill watching a maritime festival. I mean, there will be a lot of memories to be made. And a lot of family gatherings. It's all about family, both on the Wampanoag and Pilgrim side, and all of us immigrants that came later. It's all about why we came here. We came with our families for a better life, and that's why the Pilgrims came.
And again, remember, if you've missed out on a majority of this conversation, this will be part of the podcast that will be up this week as well. You can always go to the website, which has not only the events, the programs, get involved. Also, the social media platforms, whether it's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, the website, Plymouth400inc.org. Michelle, thank you so much for coming in. And
thank
I also
you.
Want to thank Representative Muratori and Peter also kind of being the ones who are in the know. You guys have really worked hard collectively, and there's so many other people who worked hard. And we'll continue to work hard until we've seen each and every event.
That's right. Well, look, you know, Matt Muratori is Mr. Plymouth 400 up there and, at the State House. And I heard him earlier when I was driving in say, you know, that people keep asking him, isn't that thing over yet? Well, guess what?
It just gets
started.
We're
inviting you all.
Yeah, now they want to know that. Now they want their invitations.
Now they want their invitations, so we're inviting them all.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And let's have you back in a month, 5 weeks, and just remind folks again about these great events that are coming up. We're going to step aside when we come back. The final segment of Monday Night Talk, we'll speak with Felisa Valkovic, talk a little bit about the Cranberry Cove Polar Plunge coming up on the 26th of January. You're listening to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
This weight loss segment brought to you by Signature Healthcare, providing a team approach to weight loss, including medical and surgical options. Here's Dr. Deborah Abeles, Chief of Signature Healthcare's Weight and Wellness Center in Brockton.
When it comes to medical or surgical weight loss, patients now have more options than ever before. At our practice, we're always trying to guide patients to the option that makes the most sense for them. So for some, that may mean surgery to help them lose weight, put their diabetes into remission, or reduce the number of medications that they take. However, there are also less invasive options like our 12-week doctor-supervised medical weight loss program. Patients work with our dietitian and lifestyle counselors while receiving ongoing physician consultation to make sure they are losing weight safely and effectively.
To learn more about Dr. Abeles and see if Signature Healthcare's medical and surgical weight loss approaches may be right for you, visit mysignaturecare.org/weightloss.
Oh, Adventure Car Hop is the place to go for food that's always right.
Way back before rock and roll was golden oldies, cars looked funny. They had protruding bulbous buffons of chrome at the front and chandeliers hanging off the rear, and long enough to hold an entire hockey team with sticks. Plus, room in the trunk for a dentist chair. Back then, hockey players wore no masks and had no teeth. Remember the hockey sticks? High sticking occurs even in the team Oldsmobile, with results easily imagined.
Windshield broken? I'm Tiny of Tiny and Sons Glass. Yes, your insurance company will pay. 1-888-64-TINYS.
I'm Mary Ellen from Your CBD Store in Hanover. With my background in health education here in the South Shore, I know all about managing chronic pain. The results I found from people in my life and from millions of other people across the country using CBD oil has led me to open Your CBD Store on Route 53 in Hanover. However, there's lots of misinformation about CBD. The Farm Bill of 2018 legalized the use of industrialized hemp. Your CBD Store of Hanover only sells products made from industrialized certified hemp, making it 100% legal in all 50 states. There's absolutely no marijuana in products sold by Your CBD Store of Hanover. In fact, most of our products contain no THC. CBD has many targeted uses. Visit our boutique-style store. We would love to explain how we can make it work for you. Your CBD Store of Hanover at 1271 Washington Street on Route 53 in Hanover. Your CBD Store of Hanover. Help without the high.
Monday Night Talk continues all week long. Go to 95.9WATD.com/Monday Night Talk and keep in touch on Facebook and Twitter. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We return for the final segment of Monday Night Talk here on 95.9WATD. And what I like to do from time to time on this radio program is to, we talk politics, we talk about local issues, whatever is happening. We have elected officials on, we have special guests. But if there are upcoming events, if there are events that are going to be for the betterment of the community, I do my best to sit down with somebody who is a part of that upcoming event and give details. And this is pretty much in the very same vein. Interesting enough is coming up on January 26th, that's right, later on this month, the fine folks in the town of Hanson, the Hanson PTO, are going to be having their second annual event. It's the Hanson PTO Cranberry Cove Polar Plunge, and these fine folks are going to be freezing for a reason, and coordinator for this event, and I believe she might have been on this radio program a year ago. I have Melissa Velkovic, who is joining us. Melissa, welcome back to Monday Night Talk, if I'm correct with that statement.
Yes, thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you having me.
So, if just a little bit of revisionist history here. What made you decide 1 year ago, or maybe a little bit more than a year ago, to put together an event? What's the purpose of having folks stripped down to barely nothing and jumping into some frigid water for 30 seconds and jumping out afterwards and going, oh, that wasn't so bad?
So as a PTO, our goal is to have ways to bring in funds that we can then put back into the schools, whether that be through enrichment programs or teacher requests for things that enhance the learning of our students to different, you know, technology needs and whatnot. So the thinking behind hosting an event like this, where, as you said, people strip down, jump into water in the end of January, which is typically a cold season here in New England, was to find a way to bring the community together. So a lot of times as a PTO, our events are focused solely on families and children who attend the school. And we really wanted to find a way to sort of broaden that and bring others from the community in. And so we thought, you know, we have this wonderful place in town, Cranberry Cove, and in the winter it's not utilized. And so I'd say about a year and a half ago, I went around as the coordinator and representative as the PTO and met with different department heads here in Hanson, fire, police, highway, rec, superintendent's office, and, you know, discussed the idea, had a plan. I think at first everybody thought I was a little nuts, but as, you know, the conversation evolved, you know, and I brought up a lot of different points and shared the idea that I had, everybody was on board, and we couldn't have been more grateful. So we planned for it. We had a great turnout last year, a lot of members from the community who are not necessarily connected to the schools directly through children came out and did this on behalf of the students, and it was such a success, and it was so widely, you know, everybody, lots of people in town came to see what was going on, and it was just really embraced by the community, so we decided to do it again this year. So here we are in our second time around, and still finding that people are embracing it and really, really wanting to be a part of it. So we're excited.
And I happen to be the WATD reporter who pitched the story, reported on it, so I kind of had the visuals. Unfortunately, radio does not provide that part of the medium, but you know, it was a fun day to see groups of teachers or faculty, even seeing elected officials, school committee members like Bob Hayes, seeing your current board, your select board chairperson Laura Fitzgerald Kemet jump in, Matt Dyer, who's a selectman who actually was challenged, or there was some kind of a challenge put up that he actually had to wear a certain attire. Maybe you want to explain that a little bit, but it seemed like people embraced it and had fun with it.
Yeah, it was really great. We were so fortunate. You know, all five of our Board of Selectmen participated, which is huge. You know, they really set a tone here in town, and to have them embrace this and come out and do that for the kids was so great. We had lots of administrators through the school, our superintendent, as you mentioned, and our assistant superintendent, even the high school principal, who was new last year, Dr. Christopher Jones. He came out on behalf of what he refers to the kids as his little panther cubs, so that's great. All of our Hanson School Committee members were present. Bob Hayes was a huge asset, because not only did he plunge, but he also did some interviews for the local cable channel that we have here. They aired a segment on the plunge, so that was fantastic. And then we had, you know, fire was highly involved. We had Sergeant Pete Daly, who actually plunged for the kids, who is, you know, he's obviously on the Hanson Police Force, but also part of the Hanson Youth Basketball Program here in town. And then, as you mentioned, Selectman Matt Dyer had he wore some knee-high hot pink socks and a pink tutu and some pink bunny ears. And the understanding was that, you know, if he got to a certain amount of money in pledges, that would be sort of his loss, that he would have to wear a funny outfit like that. And, you know, his loss was our gain, so we enjoyed that.
Yeah, and it's also interesting to note that seeing all these people get together. You mentioned Bob. We both mentioned Bob Hayes. We had Assistant Superintendent George Farrow is there, along with Jeff Simonek, and they raced in together with Dr. Jones, the high school principal. It was nice to see these different groups of people get together and want to mobilize and do this. What were you able to essentially do? So you were able to raise a good amount of money. What happens after you raise the money? How do you go about distributing those funds? What happens with that money once you've raised it?
Sure. So as a PTO, we have a monthly meeting. For anybody who's listening and is a Hanson resident who has children in the schools, our PTO meetings are on the second Thursday of every month from September to May. And it's at those meetings where we decide how funds are going to be distributed, used, whatever terminology you want to put in there. But so typically what happens is either PTO puts in a request, or we have staff members. So that could be the school principal, it could be teachers, it could be paraprofessionals, it could be the specialist, gym, art, whatnot. And they put in a request, so they fill out a form. They have to attach paperwork to that so we can see exactly what they're asking for, as well as, you know, where it can be purchased and whatnot. And then any money that is spent through our PTO is always voted on at these monthly meetings. So we have a section of our agenda that goes that's dedicated to voting requests. And truthfully, we have a lot of thoughtful discussion as to what we believe our organization's goal is, what we believe to be what we should be funding for our teachers and our students. And so what we've been able to do as a PTO, you know, budgets are tight. The world is a very expensive place, and education is very expensive. So we have been able to help out with purchasing technology in the form of Chromebooks or iPads. Our kindergartners use iPads just due to the fact that they're a little bit easier for those little hands to maneuver. But, we've been able to support the schools in that way and help supplement the budget. And enrichment programs. We have the traveling programs with Museum of Science coming in to our schools, and we usually do the month of March, and that includes the Star Lab or, an animal life cycle lab. We have different ones for the different grades. We help to supplement costs for field trips that just enhance and enrich the, learning that's going on in the classroom. We're also, this year, we voted on providing half of our classrooms in the school with air conditioning because, I'm sure many people can attest to the fact that nowadays, the end of August, September, and even sometimes early October and June can be very, very hot. And, our students can't access the curriculum and do the learning they need to do if they're not able to, sit and be a little bit more comfortable. So we voted on that. We had a lot of discussion about it, and they will be going in before the end of the school year. So, we're really proud of what we're able to accomplish with the work that our volunteers do, because it is all volunteer. So,
again, we're speaking with Melissa Valkovic. She is the coordinator of this event that we're talking about during this segment, the Hanson PTO Cranberry Cove Polar Plunge, coming up on January 26th, and hopefully it's not a balmy 60 degrees like it was this past weekend. I would ask you this, I should ask this. How important is it for the community, for a PTO, to have a PTO like you have? Your town has a great PTO, and people mobilize and get together. How important is it?
It's vital. The saying, it takes a village, it couldn't be more true. If without our volunteers, our organization wouldn't do as well. And I think, the schools do a great job educating our students. But also, like I mentioned, budgets are tight. And, that's a real thing. So I think in conjunction with the great job that our teachers and our staff are doing with our kids, being able to have a group that can raise funds to then enhance that learning is vital because, you have to take a sort of a whole child approach in that there's a lot of different ways of learning, and it's not just what happens exactly in the classroom. It's, all these different things put together. And I also think that it's important for our kids to see the volunteering that goes on, the dedication of their parents and, in this instance, community members, and sort of the dedication that they have to the education and the future of the kids. I think, it's a whole community based thing. It just goes back to that saying, it really takes a village. And I believe in that wholeheartedly. So, having an event like this and a PTO that's so active, it's really great because we are able to enhance and build upon the learning that our kids are already receiving and the education they're receiving in the classroom.
And it's also a subcommittee that organized last year's and this year's group. You're part of that subcommittee. Who else sits on that subcommittee with you?
So actually, it was great. All the women that were part of the committee last year really enjoyed being on it, so they all came back this year. So we have Jenna Powers as one of our members, Megan Malisi, Kristen Ernest, and Shannon McLaughlin. And truthfully, we all work together really well. You know, communication is super easy these days through text messages, Facebook Messenger, email. So we're in close contact with each other. We work hard to build each other up and be very positive and supportive of one another. We share ideas. We really have a lot of discussion about different things, and everybody has a role, and every role, big or small, is vital to making sure that this event goes off without a hitch. And, you know, truthfully, the event would be nowhere without the hard work behind the scenes of the girls that I mentioned. So it's great having these people who are really dedicated to this cause and this event, and work really hard to make sure that it goes off. And it's a real thing for us to be proud of.
It's great to recognize the success of last year, but I think you always want to be thinking on ways to do something better. It's not that you want to reinvent the widget, but it's how can you make the widget more efficient. What have you done? Yep. Have you made any changes this year to this year's event compared to last year?
Yep. So, we started doing our meetings back in July and just went over everything. And like you said, you don't want to reinvent the wheel. So first time around, there's a lot of sort of question marks and unknowns. We sort of know a lot more going in this time. So we're not as green as we were last year. The event itself will look very similar. We are so fortunate. We have Real Estate Door who will be on site providing coffee and cocoa and snacks to our spectators. So it's really great to have businesses involved and willing to be a part of this. The 200th anniversary committee, we just actually had a conversation with them, and they'll be having a table set up so that community members can get some information on sort of the things that they're doing, because again, you know, it's a great way to reach out to people at an event like this. And also new this year, we wanted to really thank our plungers, because we know that this isn't really an easy, it's easy in one way, in one sense, and not so easy in another sense to take on a task like this. Not only are they jumping into a really cold body of water, but they're also raising pledges on their behalf. So we were really fortunate that the Meadowbrook Restaurant in Hanson, right on Main Street, we'll be sponsoring an after party for our plungers and their family members, their immediate family members. So we are sending out an invitation to all of our plungers and letting them know that, you know, we are really grateful for what they're doing, to please join us at the Meadowbrook afterwards. We'll have a cash bar, and food will be available, and, you know, just to come back and relive the moments of jumping into an icy cold pond, because there are some people who are returning this year and sort of been there, done that, but still want to talk about it. And then there's people who have never done this before, and, you know, and I think that's exciting for them. So to be able to go back and be in a place with other people who have gone through and experienced it, and just have a good time with people in the community is a great thing. So that will be something that we're looking forward to that's new this year for our plungers and their families. So,
and it's worth noting, again, that the invitation to the Meadowbrook is only for folks. It's not an open invitation to the public, just for the folks and their immediate families to be a part of this event that takes place following the plunge.
Correct. You know, it'd be great if we had a place where everybody could come back and enjoy, but, you know, space is an issue, and budget is something we have to be, you know, concerned with. So it is only, like you said, it's only for plungers and their immediate family members. But we're, you know, we still think that's a great thing that we can offer, and a lot of that is due to the sponsorship that we have received through Meadowbrook and Sullivan Funeral Home and whatnot. So we're fortunate that way.
And I also want to kind of digress to something you mentioned during your last comment, and that was preparing for it. You and I have had off the air chats about some of the approach and the preparedness of last year's event. I believe one of the elected officials who was your sixth grade teacher was one of those people who actually trained like it was going to be a 15-round fight.
Yes, so Mr. Westbloss, who is a beloved member of the Hanson community,
indeed,
he and his wife actually were both sixth grade teachers for many, many years, myself included. And so last year when I approached the Board of Selectmen and asked them to consider plunging on behalf of the Indian Ed students, you know, I have to say there was... I didn't get any hesitation from anybody, but you know, there was some concern as time went on and we got closer to the event. So my understanding is that Mr. Bloss took some really cold showers to prepare. There was a story, he has a son that was in Maine, and I believe he went up there and brought his bathing suit and laid in the snow with his bathing suit to prepare for it. And, you know, and once the event came and he did it and he got out at the end of it, he said, honestly, the preparation was worse. He's like, this was so easy. It was just you go in, you go out, and that was it. He's like, I didn't need to do any of that other stuff. So he told me this year when, after he signed up, that he wasn't going to prepare, that he knew exactly what was going to happen and there would be no cold showers or standing out on the back deck in the cold weather or laying in snow this time. So,
how does it make you feel as a coordinator and organizer of this event to hear that people have gone through great lengths to be able to participate in a special, unique event like this?
Yeah, it brought me to tears. You know, it's amazing to see sort of what people will do in order to be successful with something and to make something successful. So to hear sort of all the funny little anecdotal stories about what people did in preparation and also just like how they, you know, ask people to plunge, some of the posts that I see on social media, you know, I am connected socially through social media with some of the plungers, and to see some of their posts and the funny things they write, it's just very endearing, and we couldn't be more grateful for the things that people do to get ready for this, whether that be collecting, you know, the pledges on their behalf or, you know, laying in snow in a bathing suit. You know, it just shows the dedication and the true, you know, how much people really, really want this to be successful, and that ultimately lends itself to how successful they want our education system to be and to, you know, better the future of our little kiddos. So,
if you will, and again, we're speaking with Melissa Valkovic, who is talking with us about the Hanson PTO Cranberry Cove Polar Plunge. We got less than 10 minutes left in this segment, but I want to do it now, and I also want to do it before we close out the segment and end the show ultimately. If folks are listening right now and going, well, they haven't given out information, if I want to participate in this or if I want to donate,
how can you do that?
Yeah, how can they do that?
So if anybody who's listening, and this is not, I just want to be clear that this is open to anybody. This isn't just Hanson residents that can participate. Anybody around the South Shore area is welcome to sign up and participate in it. So in order to do that, you can go to eventbrite.com, and there's always a search bar there. Just look up Hanson PTO Cranberry Cove Polar Plunge, or Hanson PTO is probably, you can probably just put that in, and you'll be able to find our Polar Plunge. Click on that. There's a lot of great information, sort of what to expect that day and what the reasons behind doing it. You can sign up there. There is a registration fee, because even though we are very grateful and we have some sponsors, there are costs that we do incur as a PTO, so we do have a registration fee. Once you have registered, I will actually get an email through our PTO email, and within 24 hours, I will set up a pledge page for that participant. The information regarding that pledge page will be emailed to the participant, and the participant can share it via email, Twitter, Facebook, maybe Instagram, I'm not really sure, but that can be shared to family and friends. We ask that every participant commit to raising at least $35, so it's minimal in pledges, but, you know, the sky's the limit. We hope that people would want to do more because it goes to such a great cause. So I also want to say that for anybody who's listening, and if they don't want to plunge but they want to make a donation, you can make a donation on behalf of a participant, or you can make a donation on behalf of the entire event. Our website for that, the website that's hosting that information for us, is 99pledges.com, and you can go on there and look for our event and make a donation that way. And we are also able to take donations or pledges in the form of cash or check. made out to Hanson PTO at the Indian Head School, 726 Indian Head Street in Hanson, Massachusetts, 02341. And again, you can make a donation in that form or a pledge in that form directly to the event or on behalf of a participant. So if that's the case, just make sure the participant's name is on in that envelope as well. But and then we just encourage people, you know, doing all those things are really great. That's the point of this. But also come out and see the event. Really come and experience it. It's really fun to see your elected officials jumping in an icy cold pond or the superintendent of schools jumping in an icy cold pond or teachers or family members or, you know, community members. So we encourage people to come out and be a part of it and really experience it because it's really a unique thing. So
I do have to ask that is knowing that you have folks who are returning, but I think that you might see some new faces, maybe even, you know, an interim president, an interim principal or somebody like that who might want to get involved or is going to get involved this year.
Yep. So we're really fortunate. You know, we've mentioned all of sort of those very active Board of Selectmen, but we also were super lucky this year. We have an interim principal, Gary Pelletier, and he's a great fit for our school. We're sad that he's only interim, but, you know, that's how it goes. He is going to brave those waters for those kids this year, as well as our fantastic vice principal, Jennifer Costa. She did it last year, and she was one of the first to sign up this year, so we love her enthusiasm and her mm-hmm. dedication to our kids. We're so lucky. This year we have a new resource officer within our schools, and that's Derek Harrington, and he has signed up and is taking the plunge on behalf of the students, so we're super happy to have him be a part of it. And you know, we're hoping we can get some more teachers. Last year, we had our second grade teachers along with a couple of specialists jump in, and we're hoping we can have a similar showing of our educators in there, as well as, you know, some other people. And like you said, there are some new people, some returning people and some new people. There are some names that I don't recognize who have registered, and we're excited to have them be a part of it. Maybe this is their first plunge. Maybe this is, you know, just a plunge that they saw and wanted to do. And we also, just to mention, we have sort of have a little bit of a movement of a bunch of Hanson moms who Ooh. Are taking on the plunge. I think they're starting to challenge each other. You'll see one mom sign up and challenge somebody else, and then they sign up and challenge somebody. So we have sort of a little group of moms here in town who are starting to really move that wheel and challenge those other moms to be a part of it. So it'll be a good group that day to see all these different faces and, you know, some familiar, some not familiar, going into the water for our kids.
Well, we got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left. Anything you want to say in closing other than giving them the information if they want to get involved, if they want to register?
Yeah, so again, you can register at eventbrite.com. Just look in the search bar under Hanson PTO. If you'd like to make a donation, cash or check on behalf of the PTO to Indian Head School, 726 Indian Head Street, Hanson, Mass, 02341, or you can go to 99pledges.com. And just in closing, we just want to, you know, we want to say thank you to the community for embracing this event. We want to say thank you to all of our participants. You know, you're very brave. The kids will be excited to see all the different people jumping on their behalf, and I think it's great for kids to see how dedicated adults are and willing to do something sort of crazy for them to better their education. So, you know, on behalf of the Hanson PTO and the planning committee for the Polar Plunge, we just want to say thank you to the listeners and thank you to anybody who wants to donate. And we just encourage people to come out and that morning and see the event and just be a part of something that's really unique to our town.
And we want to thank you, Melissa, for being our guest here for the final segment of tonight's Monday Night Talk. And I'll look forward to an update in hearing how well this year's event goes.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Kevin. We really appreciate all the support that you have given us through, you know, interviews on the radio, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
You got it. She is Melissa Velkovic. She is the coordinator for the Hanson PTO Cranberry Cove Polar Plunge. These folks are freezing for a reason, and guess what, folks? That's all the time that we have for this evening. Fear not, though. We will be back next week
at 6:15 p.m. Until then, have a great evening.